Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. Now tonight, a lot of you have been saying we need to consider what God does. You've been saying we need to think about what God does. We need to consider it. His miracles, His amazing grace, His keeping grace, His saving grace, His supplying grace. So I want to talk to you tonight about Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to pick out one verse, but I want to read all verses all the way through 11, chapter 12, Ezekiel. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, they have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. He's talking about the children of Israel. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing. He said, get your stuff together, get them ready to move. And remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing. And thou shalt go forth at even in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig through the walls in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou see not the ground. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity. In other words, as if he was going away into that captivity. If he got his things together, his belongings. And in the even, I dig through the wall with mine hand. That's the wall of the city. And I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Now speak to us just for a few minutes through your word, and let us go out of here rejoicing, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. The Lord told Ezekiel, I want you to do something as a sign to these rebellious people that claim they trust me. He said, they're rebellious people. They're not going to listen to you, but I want you to do it. And then he told him how to do it. Get all your stuff together. Not everything, not his furniture, just the things you would take if you were taken captive. Changes of clothes, things like that. And he said, I want you to take it, let them see you moving it out of your house, and just set it out there somewhere, let them see you doing that. And then I want you to go back and get it. And then I want you to do it that evening again. And he said, then I want you to take it, and I want you to go over to the wall of the city, and I want you to dig a hole under that wall and put your stuff under that hole, and then you crawl through after it. And he said, I'm going to use you for a sign. Because what you're doing, what it looks like is happening, is you're going into captivity, and they are. And I want them to know that. But then I want to just take verse 3 tonight. He said, therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider. Now, we're talking tonight in your testimonies that we need to consider the goodness of God. We need to consider about, we need to think about these things. I could have run over, you could have run over that little girl and been in jail tomorrow. You know. Something bad might have happened to you. Some bad things might have already happened to you, and God's brought you through them. And most all of us have had those things. And we need to consider that. But you know, it's strange that all that God does for His people, they sometimes just don't consider it. I mean, they just don't consider it. They don't consider what God has done for them. They just look at what they think God has not done for them. And God's been good to us as believers. He's good to all believers. He's good to sinners. He could kill them tomorrow, burn the whole world if He wanted to. God's good. But especially to His children, He's good. And we'll consider that. We'll think about that some. When you're feeling sorry about how your wife ain't paid you enough attention, or maybe your husband ain't cutting the grass exactly the way you think it ought to be cut, you ought to consider how good God is to give you a husband or a wife that'll even cut the grass or cook a meal. My wife cooked a great meal today. She fed me and Becky like kings. You couldn't go to a restaurant and eat like we ate today. Amen. Good. And so, but most Christians don't consider it. And it's like your mama taught you growing up, you're not thankful for it till it's gone. Amen. You're not thankful for it till it's gone. And so, I think we should consider some things tonight. Real quickly. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. 1 Peter 1:18, 19 says that we're redeemed not by corruptible things, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we need to consider the price that He's paid for us. The price that He paid for our redemption. God didn't just declare one day that we were saved. Somebody had to pay our sin debt. Amen. And it couldn't just be anybody, because everybody's sinners, and if they die for sins, they're dying for their own sins. They're not dying for our sins. It's impossible to die for somebody else's sins. But there was one. He sent His blessed Son to shed His perfect, pure blood, so that we, with the tainted blood, could be saved. Now we need to consider that. We're not saved because we're good. There's none good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. All we like sheep have gone astray. And that includes since you've been saved, by the way. And we need to think about that. If you don't watch out, the devil will have you thinking, well, I'm all right. I'm better than I used to be. Well, even at our best, we're still not good enough. I mean, our best is usually centered around ourselves and our sinful desires and our sinful pride. And so then at our best, we're still sinning because we're doing it for some other reason than God Himself. So we ought to consider the price that He paid for us. Number two, turn to Psalm 40. Verse 1 through 3. Real quick. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I got one banana at the house and I got some peanut butter. I got some milk. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established, He put them in order, my goings. Amen. And He put a new song in my mouth, yes, and even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Yes. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Well, to consider where He lifted us from. I don't know where you came from. I really don't. And my wife and kids tell me not to tell my stories. They're all sad. Well, they're not sad. They end good. But the point being, we were all in a pit of sin. Every one of us. You say, well, I grew up in a good family, had a good house, had good income. That doesn't have a thing to do with it. There's some of the richest, nicest living people in the world that's in a pit of sin. And they're miserable.
Right.
We need to consider where He lifted us from. We sing that song, He lifted me. He lifted me. Well, He lifted every one of us. He resurrected us. We were dead in trespasses and sin. As far as God was concerned, we were already dead people. And He lifted us. Now, you need to remember that. You say, I had a manager one time that I worked for. He's a wonderful man. He was a Presbyterian, and he'd quote scripture, and I trusted him. I think you could lay, $1,000 down, turn the lights out. He wouldn't touch it. He'd bring it to you. And a nice, wonderful guy. And I was witnessing to him one day, and I asked him, I said, "When did you get saved?" He said, "Well, Ron, I've never had to be saved." He said, "I was born a Christian. And I was born into a Christian home. And I was raised as a Christian. And I've always read my Bible, and I've always attended church, and I've always tried to keep the commandments and be a good person." I said, "Yeah, but Jesus said you must be born again." You see, that man needs to be lifted out of the pit of religion. Religion's going to send more people to hell than liquor. Yeah. You get these good Muslims right here. There's some good Muslims. They won't rob you. They won't steal from you. They don't break. Their laws are stricter than ours. But they've never been born again. But if you could go to heaven by dressing right and eating right and smiling when people cuss you, they got a ticket. But I got news for you. They're in the pit of religion, and they need to be lifted out. Religion will send you to hell. Amen? And then we need to consider something else. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." He said, "Now the other way is narrow, and few there be that find it." We need to consider all those people around us that are dying and going to a devil's hell. I was out here the other day working, and I saw all this traffic back. It backed up to the stoplight. And I thought, man, and I go to Charlotte, visit the hospital, and if you go before 10 o'clock, you can't get there for the traffic, and you go after 2 o'clock, and you can't get home for the traffic. And if you go during lunchtime, you can't maneuver for the traffic. And then you stop and think about all those people, how many are going to heaven? And we get on elevators with them, and we don't speak. Well, I kind of do, but most people don't. If you ever want to scare people on the elevator, say that. It gets real quiet, say, "Hallelujah!" Or say, I heard some funny noises on this thing, praise God. Going to heaven any minute. but we rub elbows with them at Walmart, and the mall, and work, and school. And you know what we need to consider? We need to think, is this guy going to heaven? Is this gal going to be saved? Now stop looking at the way they're dressed or their education or their dialect or their intellect and look at them and think, is this person going to heaven? Because broad is the way that leads to destruction and many there be that go therein at. That's what Jesus said. If you get right down to it, there's few people going to heaven. Now we need to consider that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. And I told you we're going to start that Thursday morning. Retired, not rusted men's visitation. And I'm going to be here. And we got neighbors around here. We've not even knocked on their doors yet. A lot of them we have, but a lot of them we haven't. And it would take me the rest of my lifetime just to reach the people within a few minutes of this church. I've been riding up down these roads around here. There's streets I didn't even know existed back here, Brother Alton. Whole neighborhoods. I'd ride by and say, well, there's a little stop sign. So I went down in there. And you're talking about houses and bumper to bumper houses and the people all back in there and all over in here and all the way down. It's amazing how many people live within just a few minutes of this church right here. And what we need to do is find out whether or not they're going to heaven. Amen. You say, well, I'm scared to visit people. Well, you ought to be more concerned than you are scared. Amen. I mean, have you considered that? A lot of people live right down the street from church. Nobody's ever knocked on their door. I did many years. Growing up, no church ever knocked on our door. And that's when they claimed Christianity was so strong, back in the 60s. Nobody ever knocked on our door. Jehovah's Witness did. Mormons did. We thought they were Christians. We really did. And let me ask you this. Of all you people sitting in here right now, how many of you ever, where you live right now, how many of you have ever had somebody knock on your door and just invite you to church? How many of you ever had somebody do that? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Out of this whole crowd, 7 people has had somebody from a church knock on their door and invite. Now, I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witness or Mormons. I'm talking about real church. Very few. Very few has that ever happened. Now, it's not a lack of sinners. Jesus said, look on the fields, they're white in the harvest. It's a lack of saints that will work the harvest. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. Now we can sit down here and we, it's attracted people. People have come in here and since we've come and they've walked in the door and I say, who invited you? And they say, man, nobody invited us. We saw something going on over here. The parking lot was full. People was parked on the side of the street. We want to know what's going on. More than once that's happened. Amen. And so what we need to consider is how many people, even if they're not saved, how many people are just looking for a church? Right. How many people are settled in some old dead, dried up, religious church? God never moves. God left there a long time ago. And we don't consider those people need rescuing too.
Yes, Lord.
They'd love to have some old-fashioned religion, Christianity. Amen? And so we need to consider that. And then not only that, Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light so shine that they see your good works and glorify your Father. We need to consider who's watching us.
Amen.
And they're watching us. They're watching us. Amen. Did you know your neighbors notice every time you drive out on Sunday to go to church Sunday morning or on Sunday night, they know it. And if you don't do it, here's what they say. I wonder why Ron didn't go to church today. Now, they'll never say that to you, but they're watching you. Amen. Amen. And they know what goes on around your house. They know. They're watching us. And they were watching that parking lot, Brother Alton. When they saw it full, they said, man, we've rode by here 1,000 times. And all we didn't see this. What's going on here? I think they probably thought we was having a church fight or something. You know, everybody show up for a church fight. People ain't been to church in 40 years to show up to vote. You know, usually vote somebody out. but we need to consider the public. Now, some people come here and they don't understand, and I'm pastor and I believe in pastoral leadership and deacons help and people help, but I believe everything rises and falls from right here. And if the pastor doesn't promote it or if he doesn't condemn it, then it won't be done so. And a lot of people come in here and they'll say, well, preacher, I just don't understand how you preach against this stuff or this preacher or that preacher. And I just can't come here for that. Well, here's what I consider. What about all the ones that do come here and want to hear that? Should we change what we believe to get 2 or 3 in here that don't believe nothing? No. We need to consider the public that's watching us. That's why I don't know who cut the grass the other day, but I thank God for it. The grass ought to always be cut. The parking lot ought to look nice. The building ought to look nice. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, who cut the grass, by the way? You own up to it? Y'all ain't gonna own up to it, are you? But anyway, whoever did it, thank God for it. But the public is watching us. They'll say, well, they say they believe the old Bible, but they had this preacher down there and he don't believe the Bible. You know. We need to consider this. And then one more thing. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
We need to consider the person that we're going to give account to.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven. I'm fireproof. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. If I went to hell, they'd have to air condition it. Because God promised me He was taking me to heaven. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And none of us are worth going, even since we've been saved and got a new heart, new mind, new spirit and everything. We're still not worthy to go, but thank God we get to go. Amen? But that ain't the end of it. You're not going up there and float around. I'm glad y'all got this. Float around on a cloud. And that's not what you're going to do. By the way, I thought the chandelier, we had a boat one time by chandeliers, and somebody jumped up and said, ain't nobody here knows how to play one. But I thought that was a chandelier. But we're going to give a count. Not heaven or hell, but reward or loss. Now I want to go in with a full reward. Now you can fall and get back up and still go in with full reward. You need to consider that. A lot of people's fallen. Good man falls, the Bible says, but he gets back up. And reward, one of the rewards will be because you kept getting back up. And we need to keep going. And we need to consider that Jesus Christ is going to judge our works, not for heaven or hell, but for reward or loss. Amen. Them girls hadn't got over that chandelier thing yet. I got to quit telling jokes. But for heaven or hell, listen, heaven and hell was determined the day that you accepted Christ.
Amen.
But now, we call Him Lord for a purpose. He's our master. He's our Lord. And your master and your Lord, you give account for what you did with what He gave you.
Amen.
We need to consider that. This lackadaisical, lazy, laid back, nonchalant Christianity is of the devil. This is serious business. It's serious business. They used to sing Onward Christian Soldiers. You don't hear that song much anymore, do you? Marching as the war. Amen. Now, we need to consider that, who we're going to give account to. Now, we're all going to be ashamed about some things when we get there. But if it's under the blood, it's forgiven. Amen. Revelation 22 says this, verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We need to consider the pardon that's been offered to us. And like I said this morning, come. Come to Him. Consider these things. He told Ezekiel, he said, you get your stuff, you moved around two or three times, they're going to take notice of you. And then after they take notice of you, they're going to ask you what this means. And you tell them that you're a rebellious house and this is what God's going to do to you for your rebellion. But what He was really saying was, why don't you just come to Me and this won't happen to you? And He was giving the children of Israel a warning. If they had repented that day and turned back to God, God would not have let them go into captivity. He was saying, now you watch and you come. You consider what's happening here. Then you come to Me, I'll fix it. God doesn't hate us. It's all under the blood. It's all under the blood. But you know what we ought to do? We ought to consider who we're going to.
Amen.
Come to Him. Consider that. Don't go to your horoscope. It's named horoscope for a reason. Don't go to the palm reader. All you're doing is greasing her palm. Amen. Don't go over to that liberal church where that fake preacher is going to tell you anything you want to hear as long as you give a bigger offering every week. Don't go down there where they sing worldly stuff. Come to Him. Come to Him. And look, if you'll come to Him, He'll establish you going forth.
Yes.
And he'll put your feet on the solid rock.
Amen.
You won't have so many questions anymore if you'll consider him.
Amen.
Now, I hope tonight you considered him. You got saved when you considered him in your relationship. You accepted him as your Savior. And then I hope you consider him as you go through trial and tribulation, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Consider him when you're in trouble. Consider him when you're lonely. Consider him when you're brokenhearted. Consider him when you've fallen or failed. Consider him when you're hurt. Consider him whenever you're about to sin or you're going to get out of the way. Consider him. Maybe they'll consider it, he said. Just talking about this church, how God works. And you know why? Because we consider him first.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God.